Welcome back to this week's episode of The Psyche Behind the Physique. I'm your host, Maddie Michelson, IFBB Pro and head coach of the Empowered Coaching Collective. Today, I am thrilled to be joined by none other than my incredible athlete and friend, Mickey, who just stepped off stage. She competed in the Clash series as a first-time competitor. Much like myself, Mickey is not new to the stage. She was a former NFL dancer, and boy, oh boy, does it show up there. But aside from Mickey's great achievement last weekend, we're actually here to talk about a rather serious subject, and for many of us as competitors, a pain point. One of you actually reached out to me on my Instagram. You know who you are, and thank you. And I realized that this topic that I feel really has been covered on end, but not from the angle that I want to take with it today. Today's topic is reverse dieting out of a show. And before you think to turn off this episode, thinking maybe this will never happen to me, or I'm already too far gone, there's no saving my situation, or maybe you're just thinking, I'll come back to it when I cross that bridge. Stop. I promise you really do not want to miss this one. So we are joined here today with Mickey. She's an athlete and she's also a close, dear friend of mine. And I'm really just so grateful for Mickey being so open and vulnerable on this platform with, myself and with you all today, given just how fresh she is off of the stage. Just share her journey and her testimony here, because I feel like the more insight we can gain from just different perspectives, the better it can really help different athletes, because I can only speak so much about my personal experience. So, thank you, Mickey, for trusting us with your story and for showing the vulnerability that can help others here today. I have personally coached many women through reverses, and I truly feel like today it's just invaluable to have Mickey's voice because of the differing perspectives that she brings. So, Mickey, would you do me a favor and just kind of introduce yourself and your background in the space of, I guess you could say, health and fitness, and what really brought you to compete?
Absolutely. So thank you so much first for having me on here. I am super excited to just be talking with you about this because I know there are so many people who have struggled with the same things that I have or are experiencing them right now. So I'm really excited to just share my experience in hopes of helping someone else out there in their journey too, and just know that they're not alone in this.
Thank you.
But my background, so I have kind of always been in the, fitness type of athletic, I guess, background. So I cheered growing up. I had always played, sports. I was in softball, soccer, cheerleading, but cheerleading was the one that really stuck with me. So I have been a cheerleader since grade school, all throughout high school, and then I cheered for the NFL as well as the NBA. For about 4 seasons for 4 years. So I do have a little bit of a dance background there, and a performance background, which I really loved. And I have always truly enjoyed fitness as well. So got into that about in college, started learning how to lift, how to go to the and use weights. So I've kind of always had that background. And it was just something competing just felt like the natural transition for me.
Sure.
From a cheer background and dancing, having that goal every year you have to audition to on the team again. So I've always had some goal to work towards, and I truly missed that competitive aspect of like that competitive aspect I felt like I was missing again in my life. So I thought, that bodybuilding, it just made sense to go into this with my background with fitness and cheer and just my passion for all of it. So that's kind of how I started getting into competing.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I think so many of our listeners here today can relate to what really inspired you to start on this journey and just kind of segue from an athletic background that lent itself to competing to more of, competing against yourself in the space of bodybuilding. Now, today we're here discussing reverse dieting. And for our listeners who are unfamiliar or new to the process, A reverse diet is essentially a structured and gradual increase in caloric intake post-competition to rebuild metabolism, balance hormones, and ultimately maintain your results. A lot of times you'll hear the process of reverse dieting when somebody has been in a fat loss phase for a sustained duration of time, and we are now trying to maintain the fat loss that they have achieved. So we can do this through a slow, gradual increase in caloric intake and a reduction in activity. Now, it can be unexpectedly challenging. I think that one of the unique things about Mickey, your situation, is that in my 7 years of coaching now, I have found, and this is, I can speak on this personally, that a lot of competitors get into this space because they, at some point along their journey, have struggled with their relationship with food. Now, I think what's so unique about your situation, and probably honestly, 30 to 40% of competitors out there, I think a majority of competitors truly have at some point struggled with disordered eating, is that you didn't come from that background. You've always had, to my knowledge, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you've always had a pretty healthy relationship with food. And I can certainly speak on the relationship with food that you had coming into a prep. I mean, I think it really was the healthiest that it's ever been. I was on the phone with my mom today and I was talking with her about, when you had came to Tampa to help me move and how you were at maintenance. And even though we were eating out, you could technically have whatever the hell you wanted because your macros were just so high. And so for me, in relation to having an reverse or in relation to reverse dieting, having an eating disorder in many ways, it gave me an unusual advantage. It was like a switch for me that I could just turn on in terms of having control. Now, that's not to say that I didn't suffer or struggle with my own things. For me, I struggled most when it came to having prescribed, untracked things and having that autonomy because I resonated more with the control aspect. But because of my eating disorder, it was almost like a muscle that was there that I just needed to flex. Like I could just turn it on when the show was over. And when I was reversing, that disordered con need for control was kind of like my saving grace in the process. Now, this episode in particular, I really want to focus on athletes that are just like you, Mickey, who have had a healthy relationship with food, but have struggled in the reverse process because the entire concept of needing discipline to undo something feels very counterintuitive to them. So, could you kind of touch on for me just the thoughts that have kind of been going through your head, and we may be kind of redundant here, but as you have been told, okay, we're going to bring up food now.
Yeah, so I think it's interesting because, like you mentioned, your experience was kind of the opposite of what my experience is right now. And of course, everyone comes from different backgrounds and different things that they've been dealing with. So every situation, every person's going to be different in how they handle these things. And mind you, this is my I had just gone through my first prep, my first competition, and now this is my first reverse. So these are all still very new for me, and I'm still learning about each phase as we go through the process.
Sure.
I was fortunate that I didn't have a history of disordered eating, and I've always had a pretty good relationship with food and my body image and things like that. So I never thought that I was going to have any issues with the reverse. I was like, oh, like I've been so disciplined this whole prep, like the reverse is going to be fine. I'm going to keep it under control. We're not going to go overboard, but I had every intention of doing that and following my macros and, following the reverse plan that we had. And, I plan to eat all my normal foods, slowly start incorporating those little treats that I missed during prep here and there. We had a whole plan that we discussed, but when it kind of came down to it, I'd go in to have a little bit that I did fit it into my macros and I had it all planned out, but Once I started, I kind of just kept going and was having more than my body really wanted. And intuitively, I knew my body didn't need more. Like I could feel it intuitively. My body was like, you really don't need it. You don't need this. I don't want this. But my emotional brain was like, we haven't had these things in so long. Like you work so hard, you deserve all of this. And I hadn't had these indulgent foods in a while, throughout the prep. So I kind of just wanted everything at once. And I just kept going and having more than I truly knew that I needed. So that's kind of where I struggled a bit this week as coming into the reverse.
Thank you so much for sharing just like, the thought process that you've kind of walked yourself through and the feelings that you've been having because they're so real. And I hear more often than not girls that are in this process where they're talking about having that same exact feeling. It's like all of a sudden it's almost like an out of body thing. It's like I can logically understand why I need to keep things buttoned up. I can logically understand why this needs to be a slow and methodical process, but it's like the second that you get that taste, it's like something else takes over. And then you're not one with your body. And all of a sudden, your head is in a different spot and you're harboring this guilt. And so I want to first start off today's, conversation with our listeners, by referring to something that you and I talked about on the phone this past week in depth, and it seemingly, I mean, you had confirmed and said, Maddie, I'd never thought about it that way. And that is the psychological foundation, speaking on neural pathways in prep. And the first thing that I want to talk on there is about reward systems and how they relate to prep, right? During prep, athletes like ourselves are conditioned to associate saying no to temptations with progress. And this creates really strong reward loops in our brain. So there's actually science here. Dopamine is our brain's reward neurotransmitter, and it's released when goals are achieved or temptations are resisted, making a behavior more likely to be repeated. And there was actually a 2019 study in the Journal of Neuroscience where researchers found that dopamine is directly tied to learning rewards. So reinforcing discipline actions like sticking to prep plans are, what creates that discipline and that reward loop. Now, conversely, we also get dopamine when we have sugar or when we indulge. It's like we get that quick hit of cortisol and adrenaline. So it's a really interesting phenomenon when you break it down this way, because it's like part of you is conditioned to feel achievement from saying no and resisting. And now all of a sudden your body is getting conditioned to get dopamine from another place. And so on this or in this vein, it's got to be confusing and frustrating as an athlete to really get dopamine from two very opposing actions, right? And then when you act on one of them to feel like you're doing something wrong. Am I making sense?
Oh, absolutely. Because during prep, just like you said, having the scale go down resulted in a positive response from you, right? Because that was what we were working towards. We were working towards that stage look, that certain stage weight and all of that. So, like you explained, my neural pathways were wired to think, okay, scale going down is a good thing. So now I've been doing that for 20 weeks. So that's what 20 weeks of my mind was conditioned to think. So now that we're in the reverse phase, it's the complete off opposite of that. Now the scale's going up. Now we're eating more food. So it's just something that I've have to work on shifting my mindset with. And speaking with you the other day definitely helped me realize that and think about it from that perspective too.
Yeah, and this, these reward loops, essentially, I think it really helps for us as competitors to first understand, Mickey, you're not broken. And any of the athletes that are listening to this podcast today, they're not broken either. We have rewired your brain over 12, 16, for some of you, 20 and 24, honestly, some of you, 52 weeks' time. I was an athlete that was in prep for over 2 years. So prep It essentially rewires your brain by forming new neural pathways that are rewarded by consistent discipline. And these pathways become ingrained, like just like roads that we travel every single day, and they become smoother and they become faster. So there's studies, and scientists have concluded and found that repetitive discipline behavior reshapes our neural circuits. And I think sometimes it can be really tough to break out of that. Because what's happening right now is your body's physiology is acting in a very opposing direction. And then we've got these very strong neural pathways that have been established and strengthened. And now we have to work to literally weaken those neural pathways and then also keep your body's physiological response, like this obsessive, gluttonous, I need more, 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 because we know your hormones are off, ghrelin and leptin, to we have to keep that bridled while we work at the construction site, hard rewiring this hardwire that has told your body to stay disciplined, you're going to be rewarded. So I first want to start our little interview here on your first post-show day. Could you speak briefly on sharing your experience of going out to eat normally post-show and kind of seeing that scale jump despite expecting it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, post show, I had such a great time during the show. It was fantastic. And I had so many people who came to support me. Some of my girlfriends came down for the show, and of course, after the show, we wanted to celebrate. So, we did go find a meal to go eat. And like everything was still pretty buttoned up at, I just had a little meal. And then the next morning we went and had breakfast, and it wasn't anything, anything crazy, I would say. I still felt good about what I was having, but it was a little bit the days after the weekend, when things started kind of had a little bit more here and there, a little bit more here and there. And that's when the scale started, going up as well. So it was kind of funny because, despite having a little extra food this week, I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, I still love how I look. It's just the number, seeing that number go up, that was getting to me. So, we worked so hard to get this lean and get stage ready, and everyone's congratulated you on your accomplishment and your physique. So when the scale goes up, you feel like all that hard work is kind of slowly disappearing, and you're feeling your failing yourself and everyone who has supported you, which I know is far from the truth. So that
I
was.
think, sorry to interrupt you. I honestly, I that in and of itself is. It's like the testimony to what we're talking about. Even though we logically can understand the scale is going to go up, right? I know girls, I know when I was going through my first reverse, I was watching YouTube videos on this. Like every girl gains weight. You cannot stay stage lean forever. Many girls lose their cycle. Girls are, their hair is falling out, whatever it may be. They're breaking out. They're not sleeping at night. They're food focused. We know that we can't stay this weight. But regardless, the emotional impact of the scale going up can feel like a failure because we have created those neural pathways. And that's where it explains, this science explains why you can logically accept something to be true, right? Like just because if your boyfriend cheats on you, logically, you don't want to be with that guy. But your emotions are still tied to it sometimes. And I think that that speaks volumes to just for providing comfort to those that are struggling in this period and in this phase is there's nothing wrong. We have just changed the way that your brain thinks and the way that your brain perceives an achievement.
Yes. And, just like you said, to speak to the emotional versus logical aspect of this all, my logical brain knew, I hadn't slept well. There were so many other factors at play here. Like, I hadn't slept well in the past couple of days. My bowel movements weren't super regulated. I was holding on to water. I took some days off from the gym. So there were so many things at play here. So it wasn't because of just that one thing, just that extra bite here, those extra bites there, So my emotional brain was thinking that, oh, you just ate all this and now you're gaining all this bad weight and all this bad body fat. But, I just had to take a moment to ground myself and remind myself that my body just went through something extreme for the past 20 weeks and it's just trying to regulate, And to your point, if anyone else is going through this, there's nothing wrong with you or you did nothing wrong. Your body's trying to get back to normal.
Yeah. And before we kind of move on here to some just practical tips to help people as they reverse, I just want to reiterate here that, for those who haven't struggled with food relationships, I really do think it can sometimes be a lot tougher on those individuals to grasp the need for that caution post-show, right? For those like me who have gone through ED recovery, I really could almost anticipate this mental challenge. I've been through this before. This isn't foreign to me. But for Mickey and others who start with a very healthy relationship, reversing can really feel like a sudden, unwelcomed mental hurdle. And the one thing that I just hope and pray that this specific episode can provide for other athletes is comfort around the fact that, like, competing is not going to ruin you. Like, it's not going to distort your relationship with food forever. We'll get into all the tips and tricks to help people practically, but I just hope that this episode can give new competitors and even seasoned competitors just that reminder that this is a foreign process for a lot of people, particularly those who have had healthy relationships with food. So now we're going to move on to some practical tips in for rewiring in a reverse. I think these are tips that I really sat long and hard to come up with because I wanted to, like I said, come at this topic from another angle, from an angle that maybe hasn't really been talked about, and from tips that I personally have learn through trial and error and years of competing, that hopefully will shed some light on reverse dieting for other competitors that are coming out of the show season this year or thinking about competing in 2025. So, kicking off things here with tip number one, I want to talk about something that I observed and have observed, and that is post-show meals. It's so funny, Mickey, because sitting backstage with you, it seemed like every other conversation with athletes, and this wasn't things that you were asking, but other athletes would come up and ask, where are you going to eat your post-show meal? What are you craving? What do you want post-show? And it was so funny because it's like the analysis by paralysis, right? Every athlete is backstage and they're you make six different reservations because you don't know what you really want to eat, and you're yelping all these places and you're looking at the pictures of the food and you're like, oh, but I don't want to make the wrong decision, right? Like, it's almost like this is your death row meal. And it was interesting not being in season and witnessing that behavior of all the athletes backstage. And it's not wrong because I've done it. But one tip that I have in regards to setting athletes up for success in a reverse, this sounds silly because I know you're like, well, you're not really reversing when you go celebrate post-show. Well, that's kind of like ripping the tape off of your Christmas package. Like, it's the needle or the thread that gets pulled that starts the unraveling of everything. And I think a lot of it starts with that post-show meal because we get so fixated and obsessed on like the emotion around this, like in it needing to be perfect. And then that bleeds into subsequent meals. And it's this scarcity mindset that you're never going to have these foods again. So what I've done is I choose something that I love, which is hibachi, but I get hibachi after every single show, no matter where I go. And notice how other competitors, especially like seasoned Olympians, do this too. Laura Lee gets her, I believe it's a Caesar salad after every show. And I really believe that the consistency helps to eliminate decision paralysis, and it removes that buildup around a single meal that feels like the last meal. And instead, it's just another meal that helps transition away from prep structure. What do you think about that?
Yes, no, I think that's a great tip because I fully experienced that. It was kind of overwhelming. I didn't know what I wanted after the show. I was like, I have no idea. Like, there's so many options out there, like you said. So it was kind of difficult to narrow it down and decide what I wanted. But I think what you said is a great way to kind of keep things a little bit more handled that way. So no one's feeling super overwhelmed or feeling stress around it, and you even told me, you were like, go into this meal, like knowing this is not your last meal, and there's going to be more of these things in the future. So I think that was a fantastic, tip that you gave.
Thank you, thank you. I hope you'll probably like this next one too. Number two, we're just kind of blowing through these because I want to make sure that we keep this episode, within listening time frame for you guys. We might have to split it up into You might have to split it up into two if you're on the Stairmaster or something. But tip number two is stop hoarding food. And you've probably heard this one before, but like I said, I want to take a different angle on it. So much, we it's funny when I talk to competitors about the foods that maybe they've binged on, they are foods that I have never seen them eat in their dietary logs, because I do a dietary recall on our athletes every week, in their life. Not to say that they don't like these things, but it's like, think about it. The foods that we hoard for the most part are things that, like, they look good, but you've not really ever had a palate for those. And you may think in a prep that these foods, like, really don't matter to you, right? Like, you're like, oh, apple chips, like, take it or leave it, But when you are hoarding something over 6, 7, 8 months, and you open the cupboard, and every time you open the cupboard, you say, no, I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to have it. You are building the value, unnecessary value, with that food. That food is becoming untouchable, and it is becoming more sacred. And there's a science behind impulse control. And there was a study, and this was a study that was published in Appetite back in 2018. And it showed that removing visual temptation, just like food in a cupboard, reduces cravings and the likelihood of impulse eating. So, out of sight, out of mind. I don't think that this is disordered. I think a lot of people are like, oh, but it's disordered to, to bring things, to throw things out or to not have them. We just got done discussing that there's not an eating disorder at play, but you have to recognize you have been in this restricted state for 6 months to a year, right? It's just like a prisoner that gets out of prison. Like, you're gonna go a little buck wild because of those neural networks and those neural pathways and those reward loops that have been created. So remove that ne necessity to find that discipline. And Mickey, if you're comfortable, you can kind of discuss with me, or maybe with our audience, like, anxiety that's provoked by having those things around, and then how you felt once they were gone.
Oh yeah, so I can definitely speak to this one. So, so I was, that person who I stocked up on all those snacks in my pantry throughout prep so I could have them when they were, when prep was over and they were ready for me. And I think psychologically it felt good seeing those snacks and having them there and being like, okay, I'll be able to have this again. Like, I'll be able to have this again soon. But like you just mentioned, like it was so tempting at during prep, I could stay away from it. I was like, oh, we're so close. Like, no, I'm not gonna have any of that stuff. But once prep was finished and they were there, it was a lot harder to find that discipline. And just that one little bite that I, or this couple little grams or whatever that I fit into my macros, was a lot harder to stay within those macros. So I ended up, throwing out a lot of those things because I was like, these are causing me negative feelings. I'm not feeling great physically after having them, nor did it make me feel good emotionally. And I wanted to feel good about how what I was putting into my body and find the balance of having those things in moderation. But, removing that, like you said, out of sight, out of mind is already helped so much. So
Yeah, I think it's funny because like that internal mechanism that we can't explain, which is these neural pathways that have been strengthened, that's what really takes over, right? When, excuse me, when we're like collecting all of these things. And then when you throw it out and it goes down the trash chute in your apartment complex, or you take it out to the dumpster, you're like, I've done this before, so I can say this. It's like you're almost disgusted with yourself. You're like, holy cow, like how can a person like collect all this stuff? And it feels like you've almost been brought back down to earth. Like you're like, oh, okay, like back to normalcy. Whew, made it through that one. But I think it helps to have these discussions as you're in a prep and kind of go through it. So, like don't even start there. Like one snack only really leads to the next and to the next. And before you know it, you've got a whole shelf in your pantry that's devoted to these post-show things. And we're going to talk about this, and we have talked about this, but we can't really stop at one. So by just not opening that door to begin with, I think a lot of competitors can save themselves here in this situation. And then moving on to tip number three. Tip number three is pertaining to flexibility and accountability, right? Reversing at the same time, it's a lot about controlled flexibility. And this obviously varies on the athlete's comfort with weight gain and hormonal recovery, right? If we're looking to gain a cycle back, we might push things a little bit harder. If an athlete doesn't necessarily care about the scale coming up rather high at first, then I'm a little bit more comfortable with bringing food up quicker. But I want to, as I was writing some talk points for this podcast, I was thinking about a visual for this. And what I could picture was, a little kid that's sitting in timeout, or even like many of you guys are probably on TikTok and you've seen those videos where the mom's sitting there with her little baby in a high chair and the mom will put like two goldfish down in front of the baby and she'll have the camera on opened for filming the little baby and she'll say, okay, don't touch the goldfish until mommy gets back. And mommy walks away, but the camera's on. Right. And the baby's looking at the camera and kind of looking at the goldfish and looking at the camera. And the second that mom's out of the room, the baby usually eats the item. And then mom comes back and the baby's giggling and pretending like, oh, they don't know where the goldfish went. Right. It's no different. I think that the mommy in this situation is really the show date in sight in conjunction with a coach. And where a lot of times binge eating happens is when we are alone. And so when your coach is giving you things like an untracked meal or a free meal or flex calories or things like that, or even saying, I want you to go celebrate this achievement, because I definitely advocate for that for our athletes as well. Doing it in the presence of others is extremely helpful because as bad as this sounds, you're not going to make yourself look like a crazy person, like binge eating in front of a bunch of people, especially people that you trust, right? I really want to emphasize that component. But if you're around people that you trust and people that maybe you've even opened up to about these things and the science of it, you can really count on them to not only hold you accountable, and it's not always, it's not always them saying, Mickey, slow down. Sometimes it's just having the people there. That's a good reminder of like, okay, I don't need all of this. Would you agree on that?
Yes, absolutely. Because those moments in which I found myself, having those snacks and things, I was alone. I was at my apartment, just watching TV, relaxing or whatever. And those are the moments in which I found myself going towards those things. And, out with my friends over the weekend, everything, we had the meals, it was fine. It wasn't as hard when I was with other people. So I absolutely think that's a definitely a thing, a good idea.
And so as we kind of, wrap up here, another tip, and this isn't isolated to reversing. But I do want to talk on, and this isn't to give our team clout or anything like that. I know a lot of our listeners are with other coaches, and I think that that's just as great. But I do think that when you are reverse dieting, it is so beneficial to be working with a coach that you genuinely trust, like a coach that is your friend. And before we kind of talk about your experience or if you feel comfortable sharing that, I want to talk about at least my own personal experience, because I was with a coach for 4 years where that coach particularly helped me, navigate out of an eating disorder. But a lot of my eating disorder and disordered eating tendencies would pop back up in my reverse, specifically when I was told to go be, eat intuitively for the week post show. Like, I could never do that. And I also didn't care really, or feel like if I had brought that up to that coach, that I was going to be seen or heard. Like, I almost felt ashamed to be like, hey, I'm not struggling with binging, but I'm actually struggling with this flexibility here, and I would like your help on it. Conversely, when I left that coach and I started working with another coach, my coaches would open up about their own experience with disordered eating, and them sharing those stories created and fostered this openness because they were equally as vulnerable. And so I truly felt like it was a safe space for me where I could say, like, this is one of my goals. Like, I know that this doesn't really pertain to prep, but I want to work on my relationship with food, and I need your help with that with me. And I always felt like I was going to be seen and heard and received. I know that you've worked particularly not on your relationship with food, but you've worked with coaches in the past. How do you feel like our relationship specifically has benefited you in this process?
Yeah, well, I think having a supportive coach and someone who understands is so vital for when you're going through something like this, or anything that you're going through. It doesn't have to even be this, anything else that you're going through in your process of prep or your fitness journey. You and I have a great coach athlete relationship, but we also have a great friendship too. And even if we didn't have that friendship, we've built that trust, and I'm comfortable being honest and open with you with what I'm going through, because I know you're going to come from a place of understanding and not judge me and just want to help me. So I always appreciate that. And I think speaking with you as a coach has helped tremendously, just because you've not only experienced reversing yourself, but you have the knowledge and the education behind it to help me understand what my body is going through physically and, mentally and emotionally, and providing me with the reassurance that everything's okay. Like, this is not abnormal, and just also understanding that, you helping me understand that my stage weight is not sustainable long term. The scale is going to go up, especially since my feedback was to grow as well. So, we talked about how my body's in a vulnerable state right now and, wants more food, and just understanding the science behind it, having spoken with you about the science behind it all, just helped me connect all the dots. So having a coach that you feel comfortable with and can go to about these things is just, it's crucial, especially in these moments.
Yeah, I think you touched on two things that I want to emphasize. For one, you and I have worked together for what, like a year before we ever entered into a prep. And while it may have seemed a little bit redundant and it might have gotten a little boring at times, that was a really sacred time. We went through job changes together and moves together and a bunch of other stressors. And it's no different than an intimate romantic relationship that some of our listeners may have with their partners, right? Like before you move in with one another, which I guess you could say is analogous to a prep, like you have to see that person in their darkest times. And it's little things like that that help to cultivate that sense of trust. You don't just hire a coach and do an off season and enter into a prep and then all of a sudden feel like you can communicate all of this to them. So I do think there's something to be said for this can be, you can foster this sort of relationship quicker when you're working with a coach who is equally as vulnerable. Sometimes coaches can't be as vulnerable because they haven't experienced it themselves. So that's also something to note is work with a coach that has been through all of this or your concerns themselves, right? If you're working on getting a period back, work with a coach who's worked on getting their period back, things like that. Work with a coach that's open and vulnerable, right? Speak with their other athletes and find out how their communication is with their athletes, if they're dry, or if they're extremely open. And then the other thing too is work with a coach that isn't just going to say, Mickey, this is part of the process. I have been dismissed by coaches that in that way before. And I really valued when I finally worked with a coach who did explain the science, right? A coach, a lot of times, we all know the science, but a lot of times the coaches won't take the time to explain the science. And that's really where things click because it helps you to understand your body and why things are happening so you can be more forgiving, more gracious, and obviously more accepting of the process. The second thing here for us to kind of talk about is the emphasis on continuing to work with a coach post-show, right? Laura Lee Chapados, Jen Dory, Angelica. These are some of the top bikini pros in the world. And there's a reason why they continue working with their coaches post-show because of this very thing. It's the rewiring. No matter how much experience you've had in this sport or how much experience you've had competing can really overcome that, right? I feel like the process of unwiring and undoing gets quicker. Like I feel like I was able to normalize my relationship with food a lot quicker after my recent season than I have in previous seasons. But even with that being said, we have acknowledged in this podcast episode the rewiring of the brain and these neurological systems and pathways that occurs. And you really need a coach to help you support the strategy and facilitate that strategy so that you can get to the other side. It's a lot like throwing a ball down a hill. Once it's rolling, you need guidance to ensure that it continues in the right direction. And there's times where we are going to F up and the hill is going to get a little bit steeper. And, you know, this is kind of a side tangent, but on that note, you really do need a coach that's going to say, okay, we're not backtracking now because our natural instinct is to immediately pull back. You know, I know that when you had those moments, or that moment post show where you were like, ooh, I kind of overdid it, Maddie. Like you asked me immediately, like, should I pull back? Should I change my food for the rest of the day? And my response was, no, we keep going in this direction. We keep bringing food up. At that point, you're doing your body a huge disservice. That ball has gained momentum. It's going down the hill. We can't push that ball back up the hill. Like we said, we have to wait for the hill to kind of flatten out. And it will. The hill will level out. Your reverse is going to slow down. But for that temporary moment, food definitely does need to be brought up. So I think today, in today's episode, if you all got nothing from this, I hope that you guys are feeling community. I hope that you're feeling safe. I hope that you're feeling heard. You know, reverse dieting is both a physiological and a psychological shift that requires both time and patience. And undoing that hard wiring of prep, it's a real challenge. But with the right tools and mindset, the process really becomes smoother with each season. Whether you are reversing post-show, whether you're prepping, or whether you are simply looking to build a healthier relationship with food, know that you are not alone. Each struggle is a step toward becoming a better student of your own body. Mickey, I want to thank you so much for coming on to this week's episode of The Psyche Behind the Physique and for just sharing your testimony and your experience with reverse dieting today, here with us. If any of our listeners are interested in working with myself or one of our other coaches one-on-one, you can check out the Empowered Coaching Collective. There's a coaching application down below. You can also head over to my Instagram page directly. It's at Mads Michie Fitness. Send me a DM. I'm happy to talk with you all about the process or any questions that you might have. Again, Mickey, thank you so much for coming on. I hope to inspire some of you today, and I hope to hear from you guys. And I hope that you will return next weekend for another episode of The Psyche Behind the Physique. We release new episodes every single Saturday. But until then, be kind to one another and be kind to yourselves. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk soon.